Coming back to human consciousness. The paradoxical thing is that it has to be awakened. We are humans. So human consciousness should be something given, but it is not. What is given is a human subconsciousness. Who is the center of human consciousness? The external person, which we call human person. The human person has to be realized, but for simplicity's sake, we call the external person just the human person. It is just that prior to his awakening, his connection to personality, to that construct of human consciousness, which is not yet consciousness, is very limited and fragmented. Here is the external person. Then we have the other manifestations in personality. Then we have the psychosphere, which is how we feel on the human level. Psychosphere is basically a name given to that very interesting sphere, which is composed of our human moods, energies, psychological energies that have, some of them have been created through our interaction with personality. Some of them manifest spontaneously. Some of them have physiological roots. For instance, hormonal can be affected by the fluctuation in our hormones. Or even a simple example, when you are tired, the psychosphere is tired. You experience that mood of tiredness, which obviously does not feel so good and affects basically how you, the human you, feels. So anyway, initially the external person is relating to all the stuff from a distance, from being behind. The external person is attached to the internal person, even if the internal person is not yet awakened. And it's relating to all this stuff from a distance. Meaning we are not yet embodying human consciousness. We are experiencing it as something happening to us. Of course, we are identified with it, or else it would not make any sense. But still we experience it in distance. So how does human consciousness awakens? First of all, it requires a transformation of the external person. Part of it is the external person becoming conscious, having an identity, not just being totally mixed, melted into that manifestations of personality, but having an identity of his own that is experienced independently from your thoughts and emotions. But the external person becoming conscious is not enough for the human consciousness to awaken. We need to realize what we call the etheric person, which happens when the internal person, the innermost person, enter the essential channel. Basically, after the realization of the inner knower. Then, interestingly enough, because initially the external person is an identity of external attention, an expression of the internal person, but now he becomes an autonomous center. He is still linked to the internal person, obviously, but he gains an autonomy. Etheric person, unlike the regular external person, has a place to be. He has an abiding place in consciousness, which happens to be experienced slightly in front of the upper portion of our forehead. Then, through the grace of his being, a new space is created, which we call the base subjectivity of human consciousness. And this is the question that I posed before, is does that base subjectivity of the pure subjectivity of human consciousness awakens automatically when the etheric person is realized, or something has to be done, that we need to cooperate with its awakening? And I would say that by the fact that the etheric person comes into existence, that base subjectivity also comes into existence, but still it needs to be awakened in the terms of its recognition. Basically, you need to be conscious of that base subjectivity of human consciousness, which you can imagine as a space in which the etheric person dwells. And the etheric person himself has pure subjectivity. He has a bare attention, he has identity. So we have here a two layers of pure subjectivity, the base subjectivity of human consciousness and the subjectivity of the etheric person. The challenge in the realization of the human consciousness is that we need to have deep roots in our pure, overall pure subjectivity, and we need to have a significant level of vertical surrender in consciousness, which involves vertical surrender of pure me of consciousness, fundamental me, and the realization of the inner knower. So if you try to forcefully somehow identify human consciousness going there, looking into it, looking for it, you are actually disturbing the experience. We are preventing that realization to take place. A recognition and the arising of human consciousness, as with other centers, like human angelic me, happens based on the principle of buoyancy, that recognition has to rise. We need to rise into that recognition of pure attention, has to rise into the recognition of that base subjectivity of human consciousness. So you don't look at it, you don't look in this direction. It kind of arises, and then you are there. It has to be effortless. If you make an effort, if you feel like you are struggling with manifesting that experience, it means you are doing something wrong. It has to be effortless. So we have here the external person, etheric person, which we, when properly realized, we call human person. I mean, we call the external person human person anyway, but now he becomes a proper human person. And he is dwelling in that bubble of pure subjectivity of that human consciousness. I mean, human consciousness includes all of it, but that's why we call that bubble base pure subjectivity of human consciousness. And as you are listening to this talk, try to contemplate it with eyes open. The reason being that with eyes closed, human consciousness tends to be absorbed, reabsorbed into something that is more universal. Remember, you are not just human, you are more than human. But awakening of your human consciousness is an important step in your evolution. Human consciousness is not personality. Personality is when the human person, when the human person is in activity through his thoughts and emotions. Or should I say through thoughts that relate to our relative human reality, because the human person can think independently from personality. He can have his own internal thinking. Now, another component of the human consciousness is what we call psychosphere. It, simply speaking, is the mood of the human consciousness that has a psychological and physiological origin. For instance, you can be in your human consciousness. When I say you, I mean the human person. And you can feel depressed, for instance. And there's this low frequency in the psychosphere which translates as the feeling of depression. And as I said, that mood of the psychosphere can be a result of your interactions with personality. For instance, when you think something negative in your personality, something depressing, eventually the thoughts and emotions, their energies get transferred into the psychosphere, and then you just feel you are in that state of depression, or sadness, or lethargy. But sometimes the mood of psychosphere is not directly related to the processing in the personality. Just as I said, it can have a physiological origin. We are complex beings. There's a lot of processing in our body. Hormonal processing, for instance, how we feel physically, and so on, all of that affects the psychosphere. This is why we speak about the relationship between mind and body. If you take care of your body, you also take care of your human consciousness, or the psychosphere of the human consciousness. And vice versa. Because you can, psychosphere is something that you are in a relationship with, and you can change, you can affect its quality. Because there's a direct relationship between the intelligence of the human person and the psychosphere, which is extremely complex, by the way. First, how do you know that you are sad or depressed? It is an interpretation coming from the intelligence of the human person. He identifies with that mood of the psychosphere, and he himself feels depressed. And there's here a fine line between objective and subjective interpretation of the psychosphere. Because the human person has his own subconscious tendencies, and he may be prone to negative interpretation of the psychosphere, of our psychological state. So through his negative interpretation, he's actually creating a negative psychosphere. So many people like to suffer, like to feel victims, like to feel sorry for themselves. We are sort of addicted to suffering. If I believe correctly, one of the principles in the Gurdjieff teaching, or maybe it was even written on the entrance to his school, was to enter, you need to renounce suffering. Now I'm making it up, but it is more, the message is more or less points to that. You need to renounce your suffering. Meaning you need to renounce addiction to suffering. So the human person can make the psychosphere worse than it is in reality, or his interpretation can be completely exaggerated. This is why, like in the first talks, when I was speaking about that subject, I was saying that you need to choose to be happy. You need to change your belief system, because you believe yourself being a certain way. Not because you are a certain way objectively, but because your experience of yourself is determined by your belief. So if you change your belief, you change how you feel. Are you really sad? Maybe you are happy. Choose to be happy. At least choose to be well, to be calm, to be content. So there's this intricate relationship between the human person and the psychosphere. Because not all of that is just a function of belief or interpretation, there's also an objective quality to it. Sometimes when you're tired, you're just tired. It's not an interpretation, you're just tired. I mean, there's an interpretation, but the interpretation is reflecting objectively your condition. The fact is that you can, through interpretation of your psychosphere, you can change the psychosphere first. And then you can change your relationship with the psychosphere. Okay, you are sad. It's not a big deal. Perhaps it's even a beautiful human condition. Just don't think that being sad is bad. And then it becomes good. And then it's no longer so sad. There's something else. I'm just giving you these examples. Each of you experiences psychosphere. And I mean, majority of your day you experience psychosphere. And each of you unknowingly is interpreting that psychosphere. And through your interpretation, you are affecting your psychosphere. And that interpretation, through negative interpretation, you make it worse. Through positive interpretation, you make it better. So when we say, when I ask this question, as I many times did, how do you feel? I'm basically asking you, how is your psychosphere feeling, plus how you are interpreting it. We are trying to get to the root of human consciousness. What does it mean to be human? And how does it feel? It's very important. Because you are human. It's a very important part of your existence. You may choose not to acknowledge it and trying to transcend, but then you are denying part of yourself which is yours, which is part of who you are. Meaning, it's not the way to go. The way to go is to experience yourself holistically, totally. To experience everything that is you. So now, I will continue talking about it. Now we have that simple, I hope, model, picture. There is the base subjectivity of human consciousness, which is like the space bubble in which the human person exists and rests. He's no longer just relating to our overall human consciousness. He is inside of it, resting in it. In fact, he is the essence of human consciousness. But that human consciousness, unlike, for instance, pure consciousness, which is psychologically empty, human consciousness contains psychological energies, psychological moods, states, which determine how you feel as the human person. So you are resting in the base subjectivity of human consciousness as the human person, and you feel your psychosphere. It's not a rocket science, something that you should be able to easily identify, assuming you are. You have realized the etheric person. And if you have not realized the etheric person, you should, the power of this transmission, the knowledge that is given, you should be able to sense it. So, who are you as a human, and how do you feel? and the link between who you are and how you feel is interpretation. How do you know how you feel? Is your interpretation objective or tainted by perhaps the tendency for well, for negative interpretation. Everybody feels psychosphere, but people are just so unconscious, they don't even know what they feel or if they feel anything, or they don't even know if it's good or bad. It's like they live in this state of perpetual space outedness. But now you are conscious and you need to feel what you feel. And you need to so identify that, as I said, that link between who you are and what you feel in your psychosphere, and that link is interpretation. Whether this interpretation is objective or tainted. Because interpretation, when I say objective, I'm saying relatively objective, because interpretation is impacting the experience. This was, by the way, what scientists discovered in the quantum physics, is that there is no objective observation, because the observer is changing the observed. So when you don't look at the particle, it behaves differently when you look at it. You are changing the particle when you look at it. This is why those elementary particles, they can behave as waves and particles, because when you look at them, they become particles. When you don't look at them, they become waves. So there's the point where the science and our psychological reality conjunct, or they intersect. So looking at your experience is affecting it. But here is the thing. You're not just looking at the experience, like of the psychosphere, you are already interpreting it. So you are changing how you experience the psychosphere, not just by looking at it, but by unknowingly and often negatively interpreting it. Obviously, you need to look at it, otherwise it would be just below, it would exist below the conscious level, but you need to look at it positively. You need to look lovingly at your psychosphere. And it will not necessarily make it so wonderful immediately, but it will bring a change. Change in the psychosphere itself, and above all in your relationship with it. It's okay to be sad, it's okay to not to feel so great. When you embrace that fact that you don't feel so great, you begin to feel, have a sense of relief, that you actually fundamentally well. So these are the things I would like you to contemplate, and I will continue that subject in the next talk.